How are we all doing this morning? Good. We're going to continue with our series called Cleanse, doing part three today. And again, it was mentioned when we started the service, but I'm going to mention it again. Our 2019 direction for us is to step out of the boat and get our feet wet in the Spirit. And how are you doing? We're at the end of January. Are your feet wet? Are you still a dry boat sitter instead of being a wet water walker? Wow, that's a mouthful. But again, as I think Janine encouraged us this morning, for us to do that, we need faith and courage. Not faith in ourselves. The minute we put our faith in ourselves, then we mess up because we think it's all up to us. We have to put our faith in Jesus and take our courage from Jesus and build up some inner intestinal fortitude. And this way, we position ourselves. Yeah, when we come and we declare the goodness of God, because He is a good God. You know that, don't you? We want to see signs and wonders and miracles like in the book of Acts. Why should it have changed? Why should it be different? We want to take this cleanse series to position ourselves into the more of what God has for us. You remember part of the process was starve and feed? We want to starve our spirit, feed our spirit. Starve ourselves, feed ourselves. Today, we're going to starve our bodies and feed our bodies. Week one, we looked at spirit cleanse, and then we looked at some other things that I'll trust God, I'll think of what God, etc., etc. You can all read. Week two, we looked at a soul cleanse, cleansing our souls and what we cleanse it of and what we fill it. I mean, it's been pretty practical stuff. It hasn't been like, oh, I don't know about that. Starve your body, feed your body today. We're going to do that. So we're going to just go over our series text as we were just quickly. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then I thought for today I'd put in a little slide of what unequally yoked can look like for you. So there's equally yoked, there's unequally yoked. If you haven't picked this up when I preach, I seldom say you, I say us and we, because I'm just as susceptible to sin and everything else out there in the world. I don't glow in the dark and I don't float three inches above the ground, but we're going to try this year to glow in the dark and float 3 inches above the ground. Amen? Yeah. So then it goes on and says, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And before we go any further, if you missed some of the stuff, this is a body of truth we're preaching, so I suggest you listen to parts 1 and 2. It will be very helpful. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord God, and I thank you for your word. Your word that has stood the test of time, Lord God. And Jesus, we declare that we are word and spirit people. And so, God, we rely heavily on your word today. Yes. Spirit of God, would you ignite and reveal and bring a revelation to our hearts and minds today, Lord. And Father, let us be clear to the words that are spoken. Speak to our spirit man, speak to our body, speak to our soul today, Lord God, as we sit under the worship and the word and the prophecies and the prayers that have gone before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what are we saying here? The Lord is saying, be careful of your closeness to with whom you are yoked, because it's a close bond, as you saw. Once you're yoked in, you don't go anywhere. You're yoked. Those two oxen are going in a line, and they're doing what they're called to do. The sound answer to all these questions I just asked, of course, is simply, they have nothing in common. Well, you know, no, they don't. They don't have anything common. And we should not be close or bound or yoked together with things that are not of God. And you can go and for yourselves look at it, because I trust you're all good Bereans and you will study. God is saying, don't get so close, because that's my place. I am a jealous God. He doesn't want us to worship other gods. And that's not jealous, ooh, God's jealous. No, that's a reverend sovereignty of God. And we don't want him to get, he doesn't want us to get close to things and have divided loyalties. Then he goes on and says in 16b, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just take that for yourselves for a moment. God says he wants to walk where I walk, and he wants me to be his people, and he wants him to be my God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that uplifting? Isn't that encouraging? He says, I live amongst them, walk amongst them. I want to be connected. I want to be yoked in with them. You know, so as we study Scripture, we have to understand sometimes that Jesus and God, by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, when they tell these guys to write these pages that we call the Bible, the canonized Bible, the Word of God, it wasn't like God was sitting dreaming up stuff and going, well, let's just say this or let's just say that. Because as the more you study, the more you get to understand there is a purpose and a plan that God has in place. And that's why when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It wasn't like just another odd thought. We have to learn when we read Scripture to connect the dots and go, oh, yeah, that's what he was talking. Oh, yes, now I understand why Jesus is saying that. Amen. And so here's the cleanse remedy. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. You want their closeness with me, says God the Father? Sure, come out from amongst them and separate yourselves to me only. Remember I said last week, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen? 17b, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will come, welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Go out, touch nothing unclean. You will be fellowship with me, and we will have the greatest beneficiary ever. We will be sons and daughters of the Most High King. Just pick a king or queen in the world that you go, you go Radio Gaga over. You go, oh, they're such amazing. Far above them, far. Not even our mind can conceive is King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's saying, I want you to be not just my servants, not just my vassals, not just, I want you to be my sons and daughters. And then he says, touch nothing unclean. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Since we have these promises, what promises? That God wants us to be yoked with him. He wants this closeness with us. Can you imagine? I know there's a lot of imagining going to take place today. Can you imagine a God, the creator of the universe, who spoke and it was, who breathed and they lived, who said, let it be, and touched his hands out. He's saying, I want to be close with you. That just like blows my mind. You know, I want to be close with Bridget. I want to be close with my daughter Louise. Doesn't even compare to what God's saying. Cleanse ourselves of all ungodly, all things that are worldly. Separate ourselves to the Father, and which brings a perfect yoking. As I've said before, our bodies, our spirits, our souls can become unclean as we go through life, as we pick up stuff and we do stuff. Think about what makes the body unclean. We often think, obviously the easy ones, we go, drug addiction, alcohol, things that we put into our body, that kind of stuff. Man, I'm sure God created cream donuts, but the devil wants me to eat at least half a dozen at a go. God's going like, maybe one for you. Mark, maybe half a one for you. An unclean body is more than what we just put into our bodies. Let's go to Romans 7:21. Romans 7:21 is the sort of the dilemma, the kicker. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members, another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive or a prisoner, some verses say, to the Lord of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And what he's saying is, the decisions I make often don't amount to much. It's like New Year's resolutions. We don't need New Year's resolutions. We need a New Year revelation of the goodness of God and what he is calling us to. Well, I promise that for the New Year, Come on, let's just be honest this morning. Who made a New Year's resolution that you've already broken? None of you. Oh, there you go. There's an honest man. Well done, buddy. Oh, two honest people. Okay, if you don't make them, you don't make them. Pardon? Because you'll break them. Okay, there we go. See, that's wisdom. I know that whenever I want to do something right, sin is waiting to grab me and take hold of me and draw me in and get me to do something I don't want to do. Evil is already at hand to do my battle. Inside, my inner man wants to do good. Inwardly, I'm pleased with God's word and his ways. Yeah, we know what the Bible says. I don't do it though. There is a war going on that makes me a captive or prisoner to the demands that my body makes on me. Trust me, I know. There are certain foodstuffs I should not eat. But when I see them, I go, like ice cream. And Bridget has decided that chocolate is a food group. I don't know, I'm preaching to the right people now. I know how I should live and I know how I should behave, but I'm a prisoner of war of these members that are raging inside of me. Paul is in his almost hopeless state, says, wretched man that I am. How can I be like this? And then he gives the greatest question of all. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And the only answer is Jesus. Jesus will answer that call when you call. Before you eat the cream donuts, before you eat the ice cream, before you eat the chocolate, you know what I'm saying? Some of the stuff today is going to be difficult and perhaps painful to hear, but it is real. Why? Because I want us to step into the fullness of God. Please hear me clearly this morning. The point that I make today is not to point out our failings, but to bring liberty and hope to us all. Because we all need it. To realize that often we're in this boat together, and I'm encouraging you today to have an opportunity to step out of that boat. Because we want to go forward as a body of believers together. We want to be on the same page. We want to put aside nonsense. So the first thing is, what makes the body unclean? Now there's a myriad of them and hundreds of them, and you could all come up and preach on some of them, but I have a few. Number one, addictions. Here's what an addict is. Anything I don't want to do, but I keep doing it. You're an addict. That makes you an addict. Actually, all of us, if we were truly honest and you thought about it now, you go, oh yeah. Are you an addict? We had the privilege of going out. A couple invited us to dinner on Friday night. We had a wonderful time. But we were sitting and there was a table of about 10 or 12 teens, tweens, and adults sitting, having dinner, and we figured out it was a little kid's birthday. Now, it probably would have been better for him to have some of his own peers there. He was like, we found out he was turning 4. And I posted something online you can go and look at, and you can... They were social media addicts. All of them, during the whole meal, had their heads down. Grandpa to the teens had their heads down with their cell phones. Going looking at their cell phones. And the one guy had two. And he took a mouthful of food, then he'd do this, then he'd do that, and then he'd check this, and he'd check that. The guy on the little odd clip that I put on to my Facebook page, I think I put it on the church one as well, go and have a look at it. They're children, you can take the phones away. New parenting skill for you. And some of you parents need to put your phones down, but anyway, that's not why I'm here anyway. So how do I know it's an addiction? Well, is your life schedule being arranged around it? We can't do this because that. We can't do this because the same thing. We can't get there because of that same thing. And that involves work, sport, kids' activities, social media. Those are all things that distract us all the time, which we are addicted to. Second thing, are you working at keeping it a secret? Or are we working at keeping it a secret? Does it isolate you from others? Do the people around you say that you have a problem in this area? Here's the kicker. Can you stop it over the next 6 days? Can you just set it aside and go, I'm not going to do that for the next 6 days? Because then you'll probably realize you're just either not addicted or you actually really are. And of course, this includes things like not just cell phones, you know, and iPads and stuff like that. Gambling, overspending, alcohol, food, nicotine, drugs, work, social media. See, I can preach on this with confidence because I realize when I watch this clip, I'm a little bit addicted. And sometimes downright rude. Because when I'm talking to you or you talking to me and I've got my cell phone in my hand, I'm really saying you're not as important as this thing is. I'm encouraging us people, put them away, put them down. God is more than willing to get into this fight with you. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him, all in, as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. There's a whole preach on that one altogether, so don't get excited. What is he saying? Don't allow sin to take charge of you. Don't allow sin to be the guiding factor in your life. Don't let it put its demands on you. Don't take things that are going to make your body, your spirit, your soul unclean and alleviate yourself of your ideas on it, but rather allow God, give yourself completely to God. The second thing is a word called debauchery. And I'm using that word because it's a biblical word. So, you know, I'm not making stuff up as I go along. Debauchery means allowing the senses to call the shots in your life, including your sensuality. Merriam-Webster says, extreme indulgence in bodily pleasures and especially sexual pleasures, behavior involving sex, drugs, alcohol, etc., that is often considered immoral. You know, as growing older, you remember we did Titus, we did Semnos and Euripides. The older people, what do we say, 40, 45 plus? Well, 40 or 45, yeah. All you younger people, that's okay. I'm Semnos. I'm over 45, if you didn't guess that by now. I was raised with moral absolutes. The younger generation, perhaps so much, not so much today. I was raised with say no. Facts trumped feelings. If you do this, my boy, you will get into trouble and you will be damaged. Don't do it. Yes, Dad. That didn't even enter my head. Sadly, it's not the standard today. Today is very hedonistic society. If it feels good, just do it. It's my body. I can do what I like with it. You can. But there are consequences to pay for it. We don't follow our feelings. We follow truth. The Word of God. This. The word of truth. This is the word of the truth. Reality is we live in a debauched society. Our society around us is debauched. Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be careful what you consume. Be careful whatever you take in that dulls your senses. Because I didn't always grow up to be a good Christian boy. I got saved when I was young, but then I left the church and I walked away and I went and did my own thing for so many years. And I mean, I'm not saying this as a good naughty badge for you, Mark. It was sad that I did this, but you go away and you go to a party and you misbehave. And then everyone says, dude, do you know you're behaving last? Do you know what you did last night? No, I don't. I can't remember. Oh, well, I was drunk. That is a very, very poor excuse. It impinges upon your character and your nature. Be careful what you consume, because you'll embarrass yourself. When your senses are dulled, you make poor choices, followed by poor feelings and often with remorse. The last one, the third point I want to make here, what makes the body unclean, is sexual immorality. Again, I'm using a biblical term to help us. English is these two words, sexual immorality. In Greek, there's only one word, it's called porneo, where we get our word pornography from. However, let me just say this clearly for us today, and I'm going to speak slowly so we can hear it. The context of what we're going to read this morning has got nothing to do with pornography as we understand it today. Oh, okay. Sexual immorality means all sex outside of marriage, and that means marriage as defined by God and not society or government. As followers of Christ, we need to follow this. True believers, we cannot, and I was talking to the men's breakfast yesterday, we cannot unwrite what God has already written because it makes me feel uncomfortable. We have to just, well, what does God's word say? And so, well, let's find out. As followers of true believers, we need to be behind this thing, going forward with God. And I just want to say again, this is not about a group or a movement. It's about something that confronts all of us, daily. Well, some of you sitting going, I'll never fall for that. I'm never going to get involved in that. That's true and helpful. But a very wise man said to you at one time, he said, Mark, help people, tell them to do the two-finger test. I was like, what's a two-finger test? He says, take your two fingers and put them here. If you feel a pulse, you can't fall. All sex outside of marriage is sexual immorality as Scripture depicts it. So let's read. 1 Corinthians 6:15. This is Paul. He asks in Corinthians, he asks the Corinthian church a number of times, do you not know? Aren't you aware? Don't you guys get it? Don't you understand? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now on the surface we go, yeah, no, that sounds very easy. But again, it's important that we look at context of what was going on and why Paul is writing such strong languages. Because we go, yeah, well, okay, well, I've never been with a prostitute, so like it's okay. That's not the point. The Corinthians were actually fairly immoral people themselves in their behavior. And they were very hedonistic in their approach to life. And theirs was like, it feels good. They didn't consider eternity. They considered that when this body dies, when this body, soul, and spirit dies, this is what they believed, it's dead. It's finished. It's gone. Well, not so if we understand what Jesus is all about and what they're saying, because we have to think of eternity. Part of their defense was, well, I need food, and you can go and read it, 1 Corinthians 6:5 and 6 as well, and 7, and you can read it all. If I need food for my stomach, then I feed myself. If I have a sexual appetite, then I go and fill myself. And part of their worship was with the temple prostitutes from Aphrodite, and that's where they used to go and do the whole temple thing and have fun, because they didn't consider eternity. They didn't consider what was going to happen next. Whereas we actually do. Because if you didn't know this, I'm going to tell you today, our resurrected bodies, have a look at yourself, or get the person next to you, look at yourself. That's what your resurrected body is going to look like. You don't get a new, like, woo, me, I'm like Adonis, you know. We're going to get the same body, a resurrected, however, it will be immortal with a resurrected body. And how do we know that? Well, when Jesus came back to his disciples and had a resurrected body, he still had the scars in his hand and his feet and in his side. But his body was immortal. He comes out and says, lady, woman, don't touch me. And when we're resurrected and we come back and rule and reign with him on earth, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, we will have our bodies back again. But the Corinthians didn't think of that. A long explanation there. Paul is making this comparison because there was part of their thing. So if you go back and you read in the King James, he doesn't use the word prostitute, he uses the word harlot, because they understood that. But it's not as a prostitute as we understand it today. Then he goes on and he says it this way. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Well, what are you saying now? He says, all of us, your body, soul, and spirit, were chosen in Christ, given to him, made one with him, our body, soul, and spirit, and are redeemed by him in union with him. We are talking about the physical and the spiritual. It's more about the spiritual, and that's why it's so important for us to understand this, why what makes our spirit body unclean and what makes it clean. Paul mentions this because of the temple prostitutes and their way of life and their study of things. But he's talking about sexual immorality. He says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. No. Don't do that. Why? Because we're already one with Christ spiritually. When I give my life to Jesus, my spirit is awakened, it's revived, it comes from dead to life, and I have the Holy Spirit indwells me. And so I have this temple that is with the Holy Spirit dwelling in me for life, and it's living there, and it's. And then he's saying, should you go and take another person? And he's saying, no, you don't do that. Don't be unequally yoked with divided loyalties. Never. You cannot spiritually be part of Christ and part of the temple prostitute. Sexual immorality at the same time. This is not a sanctioned act of God. Now we go thinking, well, what about, why is they making all this? Well, consider the concept of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his body, the bride. Why is that such a big deal? Well, because of the union, the perfect union that comes together in the name of Jesus Christ, when we come together and explains the relationship between us and him when we are one in body, soul, and spirit. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? This is just straight scripture I'm talking this morning, and we need to understand some of this stuff. It makes them members. It unites them. I think the NIV says you are united with her. Well, what does that mean? It means, in the Greek, it means you are fused at the deepest level. So this is helping us to look outside of our body now and understand what goes on with her. Sex within and outside of marriage is not merely a physical act. It's a spiritual union as well. It's one in marriage. It's sanctioned by God. The other is not. The joining or uniting of members is not like a one-off stand. I don't remember his name or her name. I don't know. I don't remember anything. Because scripturally and spiritually, it's something much, much deeper than it's a spiritual transaction, the scripture teaches us, that takes place. I know most of us don't even think of it like that, but it means. What does it mean when we are sexually immoral? It means that you left a part of her, or part of you with her, after you've slept with her, and it means you've given her a part of you when you've slept with her. And that's why we speak of soul ties. And that's why we need to understand that it requires repentance and a breaking of soul ties in the spiritual realm. The question is, can a Christian practice immorality without grieving Jesus? The answer is no, never. He made sexual union with husband and wife a sacred thing that is beautiful, a beautiful spiritual union. And the concept behind the whole thing was that when I'm connected with my wife spiritually, because there's three ways you get married. You get married in the eyes of the law, you get married in the eyes of God, and then you consummate the marriage. That was the whole point. If you go back and study the whole thing of why being a virgin was so important in biblical times. Etc., etc., and I don't have time for that. The pleasure of sex in marriage is a gift to us. I know some of you go, oh, the pastor's talking like this morning. You're all very quiet. I'm not nervous. This is scripture. This is Bible. Then Paul goes on and he says, for as it is written, the two will become one flesh. What was that about? That was about everything I've just explained to you. If you want to go back to the book of the beginning, the book of Genesis, and that's where we will become flesh. Remember when Eve was made? Ah, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We are one. And when they consummated the wedding, the marriage, they became spiritually one in Christ Jesus. So some have engaged with the opposite sex in this way. I know. I know this doesn't seem very uplifting this morning, but God, because that is the power of the cross. That is the beauty of the power of the cleansing blood of Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. The power of where God is willing to give us second chances. Man, I need second and third and fourth chances. The redemption of failed lives that have missed the mark. Remember, I said, what is the sin? It's missing the mark. And all we do is re-aim and go for the target again. God's grace in our lives. Today is an opportunity for us to body cleanse. As I'm speaking to you, we're going to think about things, and I'm not going to tell you everything because I want you to be going, Holy Spirit, is that me? Does that speak to me? Does that help me? You know, Jesus doesn't come and just wash it off and put a Band-Aid or duct tape on the thing and then just go, no, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He redeems us. And you've heard me so many times, that word redemption, redeems, means we were on the slave block and he came and he broke those chains, took those chains, he purchased us off the slave block, took us from the kingdom of darkness into his glorious kingdom of light and beauty and health and cleanliness. God is inviting us, all of us, to step away and cleanse ourselves from anything that is unclean in his sight. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. God does the supernatural, which we're hoping for more of. My job is to help us to do the natural and to walk it out. How do we learn to control ourselves? Be holy. Ooh, that's such a high, mighty concept. No, holy means sanctified and separated. Have you separated yourself? Are you sanctified by the blood of Jesus? How to cleanse the body? How do we cleanse the body? I have good news for you. Number one, remove yourself from it. How hard is this? That's what I say. This is practical. It's good theology. It's practical. You know what the it is. I don't have to do the stuff that makes your body unclean. At work, that relationship that seems flirtatious or too flirtatious. Move departments. Ask for a transfer. Get a new job. Say no. Make it clear. At school, young ladies and guys, because it's not just about all the boys, you know, hunting down the chicks. At school, when the opposite member is making demands on you that they should not be making as you're leaving today, not at school, when you leave, not now because I'm preaching now. When you leave, text them. Say, hasta la vista, baby. I'm not with you anymore. They do not respect you. They do not honor you. They just want what they want. They want their fleshly body desires to be fulfilled. Is this clear? Friends that dare you to do stupid, get rid of them. Get new friends. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. You know why? Because there's more manure there. Okay, I'm not allowed to say that in church. Okay, grass is always greener on the other side. Check your water bill, because grass grows nice and green when you water it a lot. Remove yourself from people and circumstances that are unhealthy for you. Amen? I love 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. You do the Joseph thing. Put on your Nikes and flee. Which means, for those of you who don't understand, flee, run. Get away. Do the Joseph thing. Well, I'm managing it. You do not manage it. It is managing you. I'm dealing with it. No, you're in the spider's web and the spider is wanting to eat you. Cut the ties, whatever it takes. Man, I know some of you think I'm trying to be harsh this morning, but I'm not. As your pastor, I'm trying to save your life. 1 Corinthians 6:18, every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. That should give us all a wake up. What? Other sins are harmful to you, but they affect the outside of your body. Sexual immorality damages you internally. It damages your body, soul, and spirit. You're literally damaged and sinning against God, and you're hurting yourself. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know, there's Paul asking again, don't you know the stuff, guys, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own. Now, if you don't belong to Jesus, that's sort of okay. We'd love you to belong to Jesus. And if you don't believe, then you have all these choices. You can make all this stuff. You can do stupid. You can behave badly. But if you belong to Jesus, you don't have an option because you don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. And He is joined spiritual union with you. Fusion at the deepest level. No divided loyalties. Don't you know that your body, God doesn't dwell in buildings anymore. He dwells in my temple. I've heard that before. Someone wise said it. He lives in people. Paul's questioning again. Don't you know? Verse 20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Jesus on the cross paid for us once and for all. He bought us. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. He took us off the slave block, as I explained. Father and Son made a covenant, because we think we made the covenant, we didn't make the covenant. The Father and the Son made the new covenant, and so that we could be the beneficiaries of it, because if we cut the covenant with Jesus or with God, we'd mess up, right? Like New Year's resolutions. Oh, no, already, hashtag failed. But the Father and the Son cut the new covenant so that we could be the beneficiaries, and I said right in the beginning, the beneficiary we are His beloved sons and daughters. We are a royal, holy priesthood. Man, there's nothing better than that. The only thing you ever ask in return is that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and make Him master of your lives. Hell is not a place that God sends people to. It's a place you get to go to pay for your own sins. Salvation is open to everyone. When we give ourselves over to God and we accept that Jesus paid for our sins, we accept it. You know, it's not like Jesus does it every day. He did it 2,000 years ago. Past, present, and future sins were paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's only in 1998 or 2001 that you actually came to that revelation. Yeah, no, I accept that. I accept that Jesus paid for my sins. And that's why we say with confidence, past, present, and future, sins already paid for. Do we mess up? Yeah, absolutely. But is there forgiveness? There is. Honorable means the very simply use our bodies, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we will show that God is more satisfying, more precious, more to be desired, more glorious than anything else our body craves. Have a high view of who God is. Second one, how do we do this? How do we cleanse our body? Guard your mind. We let too much nonsense into our bodies through our mind, through what we read and what we see and what we watch and all that kind of stuff. What we indulge in. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light of you in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, you've heard the expression, the eyes are the window to the soul. We lose in the beginning, we don't lose at the end when we actually don't allow when we don't guard our minds. Romans 8:5, New Living Translation says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Now, we've spoken about being sin conscious and being righteous conscious. We have to learn, you know, oh, I messed up, I did this, I'm going to sin, God's going to beat me, God's going to punish me, God's... Stop. Yeah, we are the righteous, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness of God. We've got to think more righteous. I'm His Son, He loves me, He's prepared a place for me, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. He wants to favor me and bless me, and not He's going to beat me. Last point. As if we haven't made this enough. All in with God. You want to be all in. Listen to this. Hashtag truth. Sin will lose its attractiveness when you replace it with something else. Oh, Lord, make me a better husband. That's the wrong prayer. Lord, I choose to be a better husband, and I'm going to stop doing the things. I'm going to stop getting angry with my wife. I'm going to stop screaming and kicking, shouting at the kids. I'm going to stop kicking the dog and slapping the cat. I choose. I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to replace that behavior with good behavior. Because you remember I said right in the beginning, was Paul says, the things that I love to do. I don't know what I'm going at. No, our decisions sound good. New Year's resolutions sound good. We've got to do them, get them with them. It's not like I come to church 1 out of 7 days in the week and, oh, so good. The worship was outstanding this morning. The preach was, woo, on target. That hurt me but it made me feel good. And the prayers were great and everything. And then when I walk out there, I take my jacket off, my God jacket, and I leave it in the cupboard. And I go out and I leave God behind. No. 7 days out of 7. God with you. Do yourself a favor. Every time you step out the door, get up in the morning, say, God is with me. How are you doing, God? Morning, God. How far? I'm going to the shop. God's with me. I'm telling you, that'll change the way you think and the things you say and the way you behave because you've decided that you know that God is with you. Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. All in. Last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This takes us right back to what I said around the beginning. There is eternity, and we're going to spend eternity with him when he comes back. This is not just a now thing. This is we live with eternity in our hearts. We live thinking about eternity. We're aliens passing through, I think King James says. We work into a thing that someone mentioned this morning that brings us freedom and liberty and health. I don't need to tell you the last slide. I will. What will you do? Do business with God. Say, Lord, wow, this really, your word spoke to me this morning. Maybe it offended you. I don't know. Rather you be offended now than on the day when he comes to take us all home. Maybe you just, I didn't realize that stuff. Praise God. Today's an opportunity. Let's just stand together, please. Just do some business with God. If this was like a revelation to you, I knew all this stuff. Body, soul, and spirit. Lord, I want my body to be cleansed for you, Lord. I want you to work in me and through me, Lord. I don't want to carry on with this kind of nonsense in my life. Holy Spirit, let's offer my spirit to you again. Lord, just cleanse me. My soul, my will, my mind, my emotions. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus. Father, forgive me, Lord. I haven't walked as righteously as you say I am, Lord, but I want to change that today. I want to take the opportunity right now. I'm not going to call you up to the front or anything. I'm just going to do business with the Lord right where you are. Lord, I want to make right with you today. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for the gospel of grace. For redemption, Jesus. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for your sanctification, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for all my sins, and I accept that, Lord. Past, present, and future. Lord, I don't want to just talk about holy. I don't just want to talk about being honorable. Lord, I know when you look at me, you see a son or a daughter. You see me as holy, Lord. Help me to see me that way, Lord. Thank you for second chances, Lord. Thank you for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not what I have to do, but what he has already done for me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you. thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, that you are taking us to new levels and higher levels, Lord. Help me to understand a deeper revelation of the word today, Lord. Blessed are you, Jesus. Good, good Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide and lead me into all truth. And all God's people said, Amen.